I'm your host, Samaita Graver, and I want to welcome you to Truth, Salt, and Spice, the podcast, where you will find conversations steeped in biblical truths, sprinkled with salt, and a dash of spice thrown in, you know, for good measure.
Here we go. Hey, girls, how are ya?
Hey.
Good.
Doing good. How was your day today?
Loaded.
Yeah. I was gonna say that. That's a perfect description, Leslie. Loaded.
Loaded.
Loaded. Oh. What's happening?
No, I had a lot to do, but I basically did nothing today. I didn't sleep well. I woke up with a headache, and I'm just like, and now I'm like sleepy.
Yeah, I didn't say it was
my time.
Yeah, I didn't say it was a productive day. I just said it was loaded. I enjoyed it. I didn't do much of anything either.
It's like, let me clarify.
Yeah, let me clarify.
I didn't say I got anything done. I'm just saying.
Just saying.
Do it. I didn't do anything. Jessica's the productive one.
Yeah. Even if I wanted to not do something today, like, it was just call after call kept coming in. I was like, oh, okay, we're having one of those days. Let's just get to it.
Yeah, it's Monday. That's what it is, Monday.
Oh, gosh, that's great. That's great. Well, ladies, we are in new seasons, new seasons. I'm looking forward to talking about seasons here. And it's interesting because even as I thought of seasons, I'm like, man, we can go any which way direction with this. Mm-hmm. Ironically, you know, since I've moved here to the States as an adult, a lot of my friends and, you know, especially at church, a lot of people would say, oh, it's just a season. I don't know why that bugged me so much. I'm like, what do you mean it's just a season? What is this woo-woo thing of dealing with stuff? I don't know. I just, you know, I think I felt it was just kind of dismissive. Oh, it's just a season. I'm like, no, it's just a season. I'm about to kill some kids here in a minute. Yes. What do you mean this is a season? A season of being in jail for life. Yes.
There's about to be a misunderstanding in this
yes.
season.
you know, or different things like that. But, you know, as I've understood the culture more and then just thought the Bible talks about seasons and God is very cyclical as well. And, so, you know, I've matured just a little bit in this little season, little conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking, one of my favorite books is Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is my spirit animal. I am just like, well, you know, it is what it is. When I get a little cynical, Ecclesiastes is my jam. I find it very interesting that this book is even in the Bible.
Oh, that's funny.
Because it kind of tends to contradict a lot of what Jesus is even all about. But anyway, that's not what we're getting into. However, I'm just going to go ahead and read quick from Ecclesiastes 3, and it'll be verses 1 through 8. And so it goes like this. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, okay, so I'm one that is not necessarily too quick to be rid of seasons. Like I generally have to focus on where I'm at. Just so I don't get overwhelmed. And I, you know, I go into doing mode. And, you know, when I was a season of, you know, being a single mom, just every day, you know, just day in and day out. And, you know, that season was over. There was a season of, I had mentioned in the intro, yes, from Sunday's episode, just different seasons economically, you know, all of them were hardship. I don't think I even mentioned one of the fat cows, you know, 7 years of prosperity kind of thing. Yeah. We tend to, you know, think of the seasons that were hardships.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But one thing that I realized as I was thinking about that is that I just think now, I will be 46 on the 15th. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm just now starting to realize that I really never was very good at noticing when I would be leaving a season and going into another. Mm-hmm. And that caused a lot of problems. I mean, if you think about it, you know, if you're raising like toddlers, right? And they're already going to preschool, kindergarten, first grade, but you're still treating like they're little toddlers, that you're impeding their growth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and different things like that. If I still stay stuck on where I'm at and not seeing that, you know, it's time for something else, mm-hmm. holding on really creates a lot of problems. Yep. And I think I realized, like, you know, I've done that a lot. And not really realizing that, you know, God's taking me somewhere else. And then now I need to embrace this new season that's, you know, I'm in now, and then move on from there. Go ahead.
You're so right in just that analogy, because it's so subtle, especially with little ones. Mm-hmm. Like when I just remember the first year, you're going from, there's so many different seasons just in that, or in that 1 year, like, you know, one day they're crawling, then all of a sudden you're like, you're walking, wait a minute, what's going, you know, you're, you know, giving them milk, and then they want food, and it's like, hold up, I just got used to giving you milk, like, what, no more naps, huh? And it's just, it's so subtle, like, it's not always, the change is not always, like, you don't always see it, you know, as quickly, but yeah.
Well, and
absolutely. Go ahead, Jessica.
And I was going to, just to add to that, I think that with what you're saying, there's so much there to unpack, because I think, like, for me, I think there's also the denial of the season that I'm in, or the wanting to stay in one season versus another.
Right.
And
right.
so, maybe that's it.
It really is.
You know, and so, and the other part of that is I've known that I've romanticized certain seasons that, like, I'm like going back, I'm like, oh, it was great. And like, no, it wasn't. Go read your journal, girlfriend. You were miserable, you know?
We quickly turned into Egyptians, right? Yes. Oh, take me back to slavery. At least I had food.
Right. Yes.
It's so nice. You were enslaved. You were beaten. Remember,
no.
You were beaten. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
About it that way.
No, absolutely. I definitely think of, you know, there is, because the scripture I had used in the first episode was in Psalms 1, and talking about yielding fruit in its season. And I also know that we have this habit as just human nature, but especially women, on feeling like the society makes us think that if we're not producing whatever fruit they think, as if people are fruit anyway, but you're not, you know, if it's not flashy, if you're not, you know, social media, everybody's following, whatever, you know, if it's not something big and flashy and, you know, burning bush type of stuff, that you're not really
valuable
producing.
That, yeah.
And so, so there's that part, but then, you know, when we are in that transition from one season to another, and sometimes those seasons are long, because I've been in, you know, those years of just, just feeling like, oh my goodness, I have nothing left to give. Mm-hmm. And I sit back to think, I wasn't supposed to be giving anything. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to be receiving, and I was supposed to be resting, and I was supposed to be equipping myself for the next season. Mm-hmm. And just missing out on just being there, mm-hmm. to receive what I was supposed to, rest and healing and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but yet still striving to do something that it was, you know, not meant for yet, or that was over, you know, mm-hmm. not letting go of that season.
Right.
And the heartache and the headache produced, you know, by that specifically. It's very, very, very interesting when it comes to that. I remember, when was it? Gosh, 4 years ago, I think, mm-hmm. now. I was in the middle of launching. I was just about, like, I already had some people signed up. I had paid for a coaching, what was it called? It was like a coaching class. It was a group, mm-hmm. class thing. I had already like 2 or 3 people signed up. And I go with my kids and my husband. We go to Ethiopia we take them back to visit their, you know, homeland. And I remember standing in the middle of this orphanage, and it's just like, oh my gosh, I have to go back and I have to shut this down. I just knew it. Like, I felt, you know, God spoke. This is not the time for that. And I came back that summer, and I was just like, I got to shut things down. And I remember another fellow coach, he's like, no, don't do it. I said, no, I need to lay this down right now. I don't know why, but I feel totally at peace.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could have kept going, and maybe, you know, would have gone fine. And, you know, I would have been out there and done a thing, but I would have had no bandwidth for what was coming. And I didn't know what was coming. And I'm glad I you know, listened, but I that doesn't happen too often. I let it go. And I let it go. And I was just like, yep, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing right now. And I'm glad I did, because there was just a lot of stuff going on at home that I would have not done either motherhood well, or I would have not done the coaching well. It was a time of pulling some bootstraps up, and you know, we're digging in.
What you said is one of the things that I've learned about spiritual maturity is starts becoming, the hope is that you start becoming more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and that you start listening more versus you kind of going by your own, well, I'm going to do it anyway. But in my own life over the years, I didn't understand what that meant to really listen to that voice or to that not right now, despite. And when you don't pay attention, you cause yourself so much stress, and you're like, but why? And then you look back and you're like, I should have paid attention. And I just think back, even 2018 was sort of like my this horrible year that I grew more in my relationship with God than ever before. And I, right before that time, I remember thinking, I just want to be refreshed. I'm so exhausted. And then I moved into the season, moved jobs and switched things, and I was finally at quote unquote rest. And so I started producing, because that's what I do. I produce, right? Like I know how to produce. And so I got right into it. I was like, oh, great. Rest. It's calm. Now let me go back. And it was something, no, it's not time yet. You still need to heal. You still need to, not time to produce. And who am I when I'm not producing? Like, I didn't understand. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I have to. And it just wasn't the right time. And so I let that go, which was really hard for me, because I'm a person that just is type A, produce. Like, I'm always fruitful, regardless. I have to grow at least something, you know? Even if it's a little apple, I got to grow something. Just to sit still and just heal and just take that time. Whoa. So now my prayer is just that I listen, because, wow, when you really listen and pay attention, you know, to that inkling, or that something that says either act or go or do something, then, you know, it's so much, the season is so much better.
Well, ladies, and when, as you're talking, what's really the Lord keeps placing in my mind and in my heart is when he prunes us, and there's, and more often than not, we're going through pruning seasons, because, like what you said, Samaita, there has to be room and capacity, but you can't have room if you haven't been pruned. You know, so he has to peel back certain things. And then there's this layer of us being comfortable, because once we go from like level to level, you know, we feel like we're growing. Okay, we're growing, we're producing, we're learning, we're whatever you want to call it. Then it's like we get comfortable in that. And now it's almost the reason that he prunes us is because it's like, no, now you're relying on you again instead of relying on me. Yep. So now I got to strip it all back again, so that you could understand the next step we're going to take. But you have to stay dependent on me the entire time. Right. And that's part of our nature as women. A part of our nature as women is to do, to work, to take care of, to nurture, all of these things. And God so often has to prune all of that back everything that's familiar to us to allow us to have the capacity for what's next, the unfamiliar. And so when we talk about being the Egyptians, really, you know, right away, why? Because, you know, it's better the devil that I know than the one that I don't know, right?
Right.
You know?
Right. I know, so, I know how he acts right now. Yeah, I know.
Right. So I know how to deal with that. I know how to deal with this season. I know how to deal with this heartache. I know how to deal with this level of involvement. I don't know when I have that leap of faith.
Yeah.
So whenever it's that leap of faith that we have to take, and like what you're talking about, Leslie, the growing in spiritual maturity, mm-hmm. that's when God has to prune us mm-hmm. and God has to really strip us of the things that make us comfortable so that we can lean into him in preparation for what's next.
Right.
And the listening is key. I mean, and to give, you know, anybody out there listening, just the practical side of it, it's what is the Lord putting on your heart? Like, what is that sense that you feel like you have to do that you just can't shake, you know? Like, I'm supposed to be doing this right now. And what does this look like? It looks very different, obviously, in the different seasons of what we're talking about.
Right.
So for me to give you an example, last year, this time, the Lord just impressed on my heart, pray. I know what I was praying for, girl. I just prayed. Like, okay. It was this constant, like, pray, mm-hmm. pray. And so while, I mean, I was good. There was nothing major happening in my life. Like, yeah, there's the everyday hardships that you go through. But, like, it's not like my world was falling apart or something. It was really this sense of God's making room for something, but I needed to be prepared for it spiritually, for what was coming, because I think exactly what you said, Samaita, I don't realize where I'm at often enough to then appreciate where I'm going.
Yeah.
That's true. You know, it's interesting because I'm listening to you speak, and for the life of me, I'm like, what is the name of her book? But Beth Morris, not the one she's just launching now, but the one before that, something about vines. I don't know if that's the name of it, but it has to do with, I have the book,
it's
right?
It's called Chasing Vines. And,
thank you. Chasing Vines. And she was talking about grapevines, and, you know, that's in the Bible, like all over the place. So, but in order for the grapevines to do well, they actually don't do well in soil that's just all smooth, and it actually needs to actually go through a little bit of struggle in order to produce a lot of grapes, because if it thinks that it's okay, it produces a lot of leaves but not a lot of fruit. So the vine dress, I don't know whatever his name is, I remember she had a special name for it, and I wish I remember now because it sounded really smart, but anyway, the vineyard men actually has to make sure that the soil is actually a little bit rocky and a little bit, you know, just uncomfortable for the plant in order to produce fruit instead of a lot of leaves. And, you know, I think of that in us. I mean, I don't know about you, but the biggest growth that I've ever had, and that God has molded me and changed me and humbled me and made me more empathetic and more loving or whatnot, has been through trial. We generally don't grow very much in comfort. Everything may look good, but, you know, in the end we end up the same. And so, you know, I wish I was mature enough as a Christian to say, oh, I'm going through this trial, it's going to be great, I'm going to grow so much, and it's just going to be, you know, it's fine. I begrudge and grumble and hate it the whole way, you know, until whenever, you know, for sure. But, you know, when I look back, I still can't say I'm all grateful. But I'm not even going to lie. But when I do look back, you know, with a lot of time removed maybe, I think, wow, I went through that, and now I can help others.
Important. That's an important point, because I think, you know, that, at least for me, years ago, when I thought of, when Christians talked about going through things, I always pictured, you know, the strength that they had, and that they weren't grumbling, and that they weren't, and I think that is so important, because I remember even in 2018, that was one of the hardest years that I've ever gone through, and while there were months that, and just points where I was like on my knees, I was crying, I wasn't always happy. You know, I wasn't always like, you know, you know, I mean, I was praying like I've never prayed before, and I was praying like I've never prayed before, and I was thanking him. But, it, you know, there were moments where, I, you know, I remember thinking, Lord, do you not see what's happening? Do you need a magnifying glass up there? Because I'm something.
The clouds are in your way. You can't see what's going on down here.
Memo? Because I went. If you need a memo, because it was just so difficult. And I think that at the end, I was so much stronger, you know, spiritually, emotionally. Like now I can look back and I'm so grateful for that season. But I think that it's important for Christians, even, you know, whatever season that you're in, to understand that even as a Christian, that these hard moments are quote unquote hard and difficult. Like, that, like, let's not put a, you know, oh, this is, it's so much fun to go through these. 2018 was not fun.
No.
I never want to do that again. I'm grateful. I'm grateful now because I look back and I see the fruit of that season. Some of it. I don't even see all of it. Some of it I see, but I never want to do that again. And so I'm like, I want to learn. What did you want me to tell? What you tell me. Download for me what you wanted me to learn. Because I never want to go do that again, you know. But I think one of the things that I learned from that season is that we have to pay attention. We really cannot walk through life without paying attention. And I think about my own plants. I was just right before we were just talking about the plants that I revived, because they die every once in a while, you know. And I revived them. I try to revive them, but the reason why they die is because I stopped paying attention. I stopped paying attention to when they start weeping. The only time I give them water is when I see the leaves die, and I'm like, oh shoot, they need water. Versus just, you know, like giving them water every 2 weeks or whatever they need them. I notice when their leaves are no longer in my face, I'm like, oh shoot, I gotta give them water. But if you're not paying attention to your life, right, and you're not paying attention, and you're just kind of going, when we're in seasons of hardship, we pay attention to everything because everything is so like an assault to the senses. So you can't help but pay attention. But when you're in seasons that are quote unquote fine, we get so comfortable and we stop paying attention. And I implore you that one of the things that I've learned in that season is that regardless of where I'm at, I really have to pay attention. And, you know, in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added, right? Like I have to seek him.
Exactly.
Because if I don't seek him and I miss out on seeking him and I stop paying attention, then I stop listening. And then I stop if I'm not listening, I can't see the seasons. I can't hear the pray. I don't, because I'm not paying attention. You know, and when we're in good seasons, when we're in those nice moments, it's really quick to stop paying attention. It's really quick because life is good. Whew, I'm out of that season. But it's important to stay there because my plants keep dying because I'm not paying attention. Not because I don't know what their needs are. I'm just not paying attention. Mm-hmm. Right? But if I water them on a consistent basis, they'll thrive a lot faster, right? But one of the things that I realized from 2018 is that I really have to pay attention and I really have to be at the feet of Jesus all the time. And Joshua, he says, meditate on my word day and night for a reason, right? Because then we won't know what season we're in and how we have to prepare, right? And that's, because preparation is so important. Preparation for that, to be able to carry that mantle, to be able to carry whatever God has for you. You really have to pay attention, you know?
Yeah, so I'm listening to you and I'm here thinking I'm actually different. Like when I go through stuff, like I get so myopic. Like just, you know, think of a horse with blinders, and I get so focused on just doing and surviving that I actually am the other way around. Like I just become my own little goddess and I run my own little world, and I actually need to make myself actually reach out to God. Because I get so focused on myself doing things, fixing them on my time. Instead of this being a season of, wow, I'm going through a hard time, you know, walk me through this. I'm more like, well, this is what I'm doing. Are you catching up? What are you doing back there?
I'm in that season. I'm with you too. 2018 was so bad that I was like, I give up. Like, I have no clue what you're doing here. So I'm, because I get like that too, but, yeah, I think just 2018 was so horrible. I don't know what the heck is happening.
Don't we all get like that, though? I mean, if we're going to be very realistic and talk, obviously, these real conversations, right? When when you guys are talking, you know, Leslie, when you were saying, like, you know, the how we're begrudgingly and, you know, or and Samaita, and how we got to pay attention and all of this, Let's be real. Why does the scripture spend so much time telling us where to put our focus? Because life is hard. And it's what we do over and over again. So over and over again, when life hits us and knocks us down, we try to get up on our own strength, right?
Own strength, and so
then we come up with a plan, and then we try to fill God in on the plan versus going to God for the plan, you know?
That's right, yeah.
And so it is the human nature. I mean, why is it that, you know, the Bible keeps telling, count it pure joy when you go through suffering? Ain't nobody want to call it joy when you're going through suffering. Like, it's called suffering for a reason, you know?
but it's not joyous,
but it's helping us to understand that when we finally do get to a posture and a position of not basically briefing God on what's going on, but actually consulting him and asking him, what do I need to do? When we change that posture, then we can have joy in the midst of that suffering. We can, because I think part of the hard parts of life is that we feel like that one season is it. Like we put this analogy here, and it's like, okay, well, for these 3 months, it's going to be hell. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to do this. And then it's going to change. And that's not how these seasons work necessarily. I mean, you know, we're from different places. You know, you guys are a little up north. I'm here in the south. And let me tell you, in one day, it doesn't matter where we live, you can experience winter, spring, fall, and summer all in one day, right? But that's the equivalent, where you can be going through hell, you know, because let's be real. That is what it feels like when we go through certain seasons. If you go back to 2018, Leslie, you would call that hell. You would say, that was hell on earth for me, because it was just, it was horrible. Every single one of us can recount a time that we've been like that. And so when we think about all of this, right, it's like, okay, yeah, but there were still moments in that where you looked at your daughter and you laughed with your daughter on certain days, and you never. And those are the glimpses that God gives us in these hard seasons to be able to then take the next breath, and to remind us that it's him, the creator of all things, cares about us. And you put an example earlier, Leslie, when you were saying how, you know, we kick and we scream and we go through these things, or you're like, when you were like, God, are you not paying attention? And I think that's what the problem is when we're going through some of our hardest seasons, is either we're in two camps, what you were saying, Samaita, where you're in the, well, I'm just going to deal with it on my own. And so you kind of leave God out of it, or you're mad at God, like, are you not seeing this? Like, do you not care? How can you let me go through all of this? Like, if he's just going to sit back and he's going to, like, he's eating popcorn up in heaven, like, okay, let's see how long she can handle. No. He's working it out for us in the midst of it. He's still God. He's doing his thing. It's just, we cannot reconcile our humanity with his divinity. And that is the hardest part of going through hard seasons.
It is. I think that if I can bring an example because Jessica, you pointed to exactly the season in the Bible and Samuel, when this is exactly it. Like, we think that, you know, when we're in our seasons, we have no clue what's happening, right? And I think, and actually, I'm not even going to bring this up. I think that there's another example that I can use, because I think that what 2018 taught me was that God was paying, all my prayers that year were answered. And I think what that gave me was a different perspective. Like, I in 2018, I was planning what I wanted to do. And I was like, well, Lord, you know, while you do your thing, let me start working some things out, you know, and because I don't necessarily know if you're paying attention. So let me start working some things out. And what happened in 2018 was completely different from what I expected, and it was so much better, right? And so one of the things that I realized in this season now, even in 2020, that is crazy, is that I keep going back to 2018. When I see something else happen, and I'm like, well, in 2018, Lord, you... You worked miracles then, you'll work them now. And so one of the things that I'm practicing in this season right? Because I think that sometimes it's not just a matter of, well, we can't pay attention. I think that in the seasons where we are at rest, it's even more important for us to practice certain things. So that when those, you know, mm-hmm. it's like when emergency personnel, they practice constantly. So when those things happen, it just becomes second nature. And so right now I am putting into practice being joyful, even in this season, right? Like you know, for those that mm-hmm. don't know, I work currently at a high school, and my high school is closing in June of 2021. And so, you know, everyone's like, oh my gosh, what are you going to do? What's going to happen? I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't know. Well, what do you mean? Are you looking for a job? I'm like, no. And I keep saying, I count it all joy. I count it all joy because mm-hmm. I know that God has a plan, because he had one in 2018. He has one now. And so I'm practicing. Yep. I can't wait to see what he does this year. I can't wait, because in 2018, he shocked me. Oh, I can't wait to see what happens in 2021. I'm excited and I'm waiting with expectation. And I'm sort of shifting dread and anxiety, which I had a few years, because again, I think once you start growing spiritually, this is the time to practice what God's word says. Count it all joy. I'm going to count it all joy. I don't know what's coming up, but I'm excited because I know God does. I don't have, and I realize mm-hmm. that I have this freedom in not mm-hmm. having to know, because God knows, right? And so that's one of the things that I learned in 2018, is to wait in expectation. God is with us. He already knows what's going to happen. Actually, I'm going to bring, if I can I smite that? I don't want to overtake this thing, but, you know, just in the Old Testament, when, for those of you that don't know, the Jews wanted a king, and God finally gave him a king, Saul. And Saul was then disobedient. Mm-hmm. And so God sent a prophet, Samuel, to say, hey, you know what? We got to take this guy out. And David was going to be anointed king. But in chapters, in Samuel chapters 15 and 16, God was already on the move trying to find a new king. God was like, he told Samuel, listen, I regret that I even put Saul into place. And then in chapter 16, he was like, Samuel, stop crying. I already have someone. Go to Jesse and find. Now, David had no clue what was even going on. David had no clue that God was working with Samuel, that he was taking Saul out. And that God was literally preparing a way for David. David was in the field working every day, had no idea about all the conversations that were happening. And so that's how I think that it happens with us, too, is that even in hard seasons, God is having conversations. God is putting you in someone's mind. God is already preparing that way for you. But we are so stuck in this mm-hmm. season that we lose focus, that he's preparing so much for us. And that's what I think that we need to hold on to, is that even in these bad seasons, the good seasons, there is a preparation that he's doing. And there's something that he's working out. And we just have to trust. We have to trust. And we have to really put that muscle. And we have to flex that muscle a lot more and not just say it happens, but really put it into practice.
Yeah, I love what you're saying, because I'm here thinking of, you know, the few, there's one specific thing that I rarely worry about, and that is when it comes to money. But not because I've always had it. It's because even though when I have not had it, and I'm talking about when I say I haven't had it, I mean, like, I don't have any money to buy oil for heat. So I have to stay at a friend's house until next paycheck, kind of not having it, you know. But, you know, there was always an out, you know, I shouldn't say an out, because that just doesn't even give justice or glory to God. He always had my back somewhere. There was always somebody there to help me. So I had this friend, hey, spend the night here, no problem. Kid, you know, my kids and I were warm or whatever. There were some hard times. And this one friend, I remember, for her son's birthday, instead of gifts, they agreed that they would actually collect food and brought food over and filled up my pantry, kind of thing, you know. So, you know, and looking back, and so whenever – you know, I'm tempted to even think about some stuff, that scripture that you said is exactly what I think of, because that scripture carried me through, you know, you go after God's kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will just be added. It'll be fine. And he has proven that to me over and over. So I always look back and I am totally like at peace when it comes to that kind of stuff. But I think that in order to do that, we have to be aware and we have to be able to look back and recognize where God has been through those hard times so that we can hold on to them should they come around again, or not make decisions out of desperation that will even put us back there, because we end up creating what we fear anyway because we're not relying on God. So that is one thing that I can definitely like. I do not, I rarely worry about money. I'm like, I haven't had any and I've been fine. I've had plenty and I'm fine. Like, that's just something that I know that he will always be there. Even if I have to eat rice and beans every day, which, you know, we make really good beans and rice. So that is not even suffering, but, you know, it's our eating, you know, corned beef out of a can.
That's right, girl.
We'll put some Puerto Rican spices in that.
Hey, and that's a delicacy.
It don't matter.
Know?
Yes. I mean, we make spam.
We sure do.
When the Israelites crossed over into the Promised Land, God made them go back to 12 tribes of Israel and put 12 stones in the water. And he told them, come back and bring your children and keep telling them about what I did. And that memory stone is what I, you know, is what it's called. And I tell people so much, journal what God has done. Like 2018 is just in, it is embedded in my head. Because I wrote so much about it and I keep talking about it because I never want to forget what God did. I never want to forget. And so when I'm in, like, even 2020 in this crazy season when we really don't know what's going on, I keep going back to that. And I'm like, well, he did it then, he'll do it again. And we really have to, again, it goes back to paying attention, remembering, constantly remembering and talking about his goodness and talking about those moments where you didn't have and he provided, so that when up again, it is just so ingrained in who you are that you're just like, well, oh, well, he did that before, he'll do it again, you know. And in every season, this season is, I think for me, the toughest season to accept is the good seasons. I feel like the shoe is gonna drop. I have to be honest, I always feel like, is this too, this is too good to be true? Nothing's going on, what, something's gonna happen. So, like, I think for me, it's hard to enjoy those good seasons because, you know, especially when you're coming out of something, there's like turbulence, and it's harder, I think, for me to see, okay, is this shoe going to drop? Is something going to happen? Do I have to prepare for this? Is the, am I, you know, because it's just like, just enjoy it. Nothing's happening. Just enjoy the season, you know, because we're so used to sometimes struggling or going through it or remembering those hard times that sometimes even just enjoy the good seasons becomes difficult for me because I'm waiting for that shoe to drop. I'm waiting for the devil to come in here and do something dumb, you know. And so even those hard, even those good seasons are not always joyful if you don't, if you just don't allow that the joy to just wash over you and not just keep expecting God's goodness, you know.
Right. And when you were saying that, was the exact scripture that I was going to reference to with the 12 stones, because it just, it's such a testament to how God wants us to recount the blessings that he's given us. And so when you look at scripture and when it talks about what our job is, what are we supposed to do as Christ followers, right? We're supposed to go out and make disciples of all nations. Well, how do you do that? How will they know? How will people know that we are his children? By the word of our testimony. Because that's the one thing that the enemy can never take away from us. Because when you got the woman that went through hell and praised the Lord the entire time through it, that speaks louder to somebody than anything that else that we could have done to try to bring somebody to Christ. Because what is it? That's our testimony. Our testimony is, I can trust in my Savior. I can trust in God because God is good. God loves me. God made me. God knows me. He's never forsaken me. His word doesn't lie. He's given me. And then not only does he not leave me, he gives me a book that I can reference all the time to tell me, hey, life's going to give you up and downs, and this is what you need to look at. You know, I mean,
think about it. Think about the faith that the people of Israel and that the people, you know, Paul and Peter and all of them had to have. They wrote the scriptures for us, you know? So we benefit from the scriptures of being able to look at and say, okay, I'm going through this season. And so when we talk about paying attention, sometimes paying attention just means we got to dig into our word and see what does God's word tell me about what I am going through, because it's in there. And so we spend so much time trying to figure out how to get out of the season that we're in, usually by either crying out to God, crying out to our closest people, ignoring all of it, you know, like we go all of these ways, yet what he wants us is deeper and deeper into the scriptures. Because if we're deeper and deeper into the scriptures, we will see that, you know what, it is a very normal reaction. We should not feel guilty for feeling angry or anxious or frustrated because of what we're going through, because every one of those emotions are perfectly okay to have. It's when we act out in sin as a result of those emotions that then the Lord is like, but didn't you learn your lesson the last time? You know?
I know, it's funny because, I mean, if you read Psalms, like David was all over all the over. Place in his prayers. And, you know, he always started with, oh my gosh, kill prayers. All these people that are, you know, whatever. And then at the end, what? He still praised God, right? He was... He was so emo. I just laugh at him. But I thought of that right now because of what you said, Jessica, of, you know, let's feel what we feel. But in the end, David knew who God was. He knew the truth. And so I just, you know, as I gotten older, I appreciate that and seeing David, you know, a man after God's own heart. Yet he was such a mess. A mess. And I look at him and think, wow, all right, I'm good because I'm just as much as a mess as he is. So we're good. We're good. I mean, I'm like, wow, I've pretty much done all that stuff except murder somebody. Hopefully that's not in my cards. But like, I can relate to all your mess.
So real because David was so honest. And I think that sometimes we forget that that's what God wants. He doesn't want this picture perfect. Oh, thank you so much, Lord. You've been so good to me. He wants to hear, you know,
he knows.
And listen, and you got to, he wants all of it. Just like, you know, especially if you have kids, even if you don't, like, don't you want honest friendships? Don't you want that rawness, that, you know, that vulnerability that where you could just lay it all out and say, Lord, I am tired of going through this. Give me strength. You know what? I'm tired of this person. Ew. Don't you have something else for them? Like, why are they in my, why don't, I mean, if him, and you know what? And I know that people don't like to use the word hate. And listen, I'm with, the Bible says to come boldly to the throne of grace. And so I'm one of those people that says, God, I hate this person. Because if that's what I feel in my heart, I have to give it to him. So I don't hold back any emotion because that's what he wants. He wants my honesty. But I also say, take it away because I know you don't want that. Take it away.
Right.
I want that person to, I want stub them on the toe or something. I want them to feel, but Lord, help me take this away because I know that's not what you want. But if we're feeling it, let's not be afraid to give it to him because he's not afraid of our emotions. He's not afraid of what we're thinking. You already feeling it. He already knows it. So come to him fully. Like, I think that that's one of the greatest things that God gives us is that he is the only one that we can be completely vulnerable with, completely, and not feel like I'm going to be crucified because I feel this way. But he's going to be like, girl, I got you. I know. I'll change your heart. I know your heart is hardened right now. It's okay. I got you. You know, I got you. It's okay. I got you. And I think that that's what I love about David is that he was so, like, raw. And people, I think, are afraid of being that way because they think that God is going to be, I don't know, disappointed.
Well, isn't that the lie of the enemy? Like, that's the lie from the pit of hell that says, oh, I got to have it together. I can't go before God. I shouldn't be feeling these feelings. So I can't tell God these feelings. Well, you know, baby girl, let me tell you, he knows it already.
acknowledge it by saying
right.
Like, there's nothing wrong with being like, let me tell you, my conversations with God, like, I don't really want to talk to you right now, God. I really don't. I don't know if you're listening to me. I don't know what's going on. I just don't want to talk to you right now. But I do want to talk to you. But I don't. Like, I'm like schizophrenic sometimes. Like, I'm like all over the place. But I think the point is to bring it. Whatever you're feeling, just bring it. You know, he's there. He's listening. He'll help you in whatever season you're in. But I think that it's important. It's so important to acknowledge what we're feeling at the moment. And not be afraid of those feelings. Because he's here. And he's listening. And he wants to.
And, yeah. And he can't. Here's the other thing, too, is we can't give the devil more power than we give to God.
That's right.
You know, like, you know, we can't. We cannot give the devil more power than we give God, because we tend to, I mean, if we're going through, oh, but the devil this and the devil, and don't say this because the devil hears this, and don't whatever because the devil this, and oh, the devil put that in front of you. And it's like, hold them up. First of all, the devil's not omnipotent. He's not omniscient, and he's not omnipresent. So stop giving him more power. Yet the one that is omnipotent, and the one that is like, so you won't say what you're feeling, and you won't bring to him and fall at your feet and just and say, or fall on your knees and just be like, God, this is just too much for me. I need you. Like, it's if we can, like, we guard ourselves from the enemy, and we try all these things, and it's like, but then why won't we let loose with the God of the host? You know, the God who everything holds our entire world in his hands. We don't let loose. We don't give it all to him. But then we feel like we can manage being on guard from the enemy who doesn't even have like an eighth of the power that we have. We have more power than the enemy has. And we don't realize it, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting you just said that, because I've talked about not in details, because, you know, when you share stories with other people, it have to be, I don't know, I just think it's wise. But it wasn't this past year. It was, a year ago, May, I went to Guatemala for 3 months. I mean, I did help. Oh, we lost Leslie. Oh. Hopefully she comes back on. I did help to start a girls' school over there. You know, during that time, I left partly because I had, you know, a mental breakdown, like after years of just a lot of different things going on and problems and whatnot. I need to send Leslie a link now that I think about this. I had to retreat. Mm-hmm. I had to go away, and I had to figure out what I was going through. And I remember telling, I just met with my pastor the other day, and I told him, you know, growing up and even as a young adult, the things that happened in my life, I could see clearly that it was people like doing things. And so I never was one to be mad at God or blame God, because to me, it was very clear to see the sin that people were doing. And these were the consequences. I was very black and white in that, you know. I'm like, well, they did this. Or even myself. Well, you know, I decided to do this, and this is what I'm living. Yep. This is a consequence. I get it. And I just, you know, trekked along and whatnot. But that helped me to not fall apart. But that attitude never helped me to grow closer to God at all. And it wasn't until I'm, you know, remarried, and there were a lot of a lot of difficulties in my life that, my life, in marriage, that I started being like, oh, I've done everything I can. Mm. I've grown where I can, and things are not changing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and it wasn't until last year when I went to Guatemala that I finally was like, oh, shoot, I am mad at you. Mm-hmm. I'm mad because you said that if I hand things over, you're gonna take it, and the burden's gonna be lighter. I don't feel no lighter burden anywhere. And you say to pray, and you know, you'll give me the desires of my heart. What am I supposed? I'm not getting it. You know, and it's just like, you're lying to me.
Yeah. It feels like that. Wow.
You lied. You know, and I just came to a point that it was just like, this isn't fixed, and I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And ultimately, you know, going away was for my benefit. It had nothing to do with what would end up, mm-hmm. you know, happening with marriage or not. But it was a bit of a deconstructing of what I had started, the lie that I had right. started believing, when it came to God and, you know, and the promises of Jesus. And I had to, you know, I had to come to terms with that. And, you know, things didn't get any better. And just until mm-hmm. recently, I'm just like, I'm done. You got to move out. And, you know, and then things got like, oh, shoot. And I'm saying all this because when Leslie, when you said, when things are going good, then you're waiting for the shoe to drop, right? And so we're fast forwarding here to like a month. This is recent, people. And things are changing, you know, counseling's involved. And I don't know what's going on in those counseling sessions because I said, I'm not going. You go figure it out. But let me tell you something. I told him the other day, I said, I don't know how much you're paying that counselor, but you better be paying him like $200-$300 an hour because I don't know what's going on there, but it's good. And, you know, I guess it was time. It was on God's timing, but it's broken me. I'm not even going to say it's nearly broken me. It broke me. It broke me in half. It broke me down to quarters, to eighths. What? I mean, it broke me. And so I'm sitting here and, you know, things are okay so far. And we've both done a lot of growing. But Leslie, like you said, I'm here like I'm really very conscious of don't let your mind go there. Yeah. Of don't be expecting the shoe to drop because even if it does, you're going to be okay and everything will be okay. But if we go on with that attitude, then we start creating a negative environment and then contributing to things going back because we start behaving like we know what's comfortable.
And we take the power away from God. Jessica. You take God's power to transform, to do what God does. We take it away from him because we live in this suspense of, okay, when's the shoe going to drop? Okay, well, what you're saying to me describes us taking God's power away from him because then it's, we're taking it back now. Like we were broken, we were shattered, we were beyond repair, you know? And so we laid it all out to him. He starts doing his thing and then we start like, okay. And it's like, we don't enjoy the moments of like, okay, well, even if this does not turn out the way that I can picture it turning out, can I acknowledge what God has done thus far, you know? And I think that's where we struggle in our seasons sometimes, especially like you said, the good ones of, can I just praise God for being God and for giving me this much, you know, like, we've made it through here. There's been this change, you know, and ultimately at the end of the day, obviously we would like to see things done one way. But if at the end of the day, like in your situation, Samantha, it's, there was true change and there was a repentance towards God, that was it. Right. But here's the part that we never want to admit as Christians. That God, for you to bring that one soul to you because that soul was that important, I had to be broken that bad.
Wow.
You know, that's the hardest part.
Wait a minute.
And that's what Jesus did, right?
Wait a minute.
For one.
You gotta stop. Okay.
For one and all.
Say that again. What did you just say?
Okay.
What? Wow. That was powerful. Wait a minute.
It's so hard. It is. It's hard for us. Because again, when we go back to what is our mission here on this earth, right? To make disciples, to bring people to Jesus. That is it, right? Now, do we get the benefits of what God, you know, like God allows us to enjoy life, you know, while we're going through it. You know, we live in community, we're married, we're this, we're that. But ultimately, he wants people's souls. You know, Jesus didn't die in vain and Jesus didn't die for the few, you know? He died for us all. And the hardest thing about some of the seasons that we go through in life is that fact that we may absolutely be broken and shattered. And that's what it took for this person to come to repentance.
Oh, I got to sit with that. Wow. I really am.
She can have a moment. Have your moment, girl.
You have your moment. You have your moment with You have your moment.
Your season may just not be about you. And so
yes,
you have to be broken for someone else. Oh my goodness. Oh.
And the thing with that is that even while we're being broken, he still uses us. You said it yourself, Samaita, like that when you went for 3 months, God used you while you were there. And so that's another lie that I feel the enemy feeds us, is because we're going through hell, God won't use us in the midst of that. No, it's that as long as we have that posture of God is okay. God is a big boy. He wears big boy pants. You know, he's okay if we tell him we're mad at you and we're struggling with this. That is okay to do. And guess what? He will turn around and he will allow us to speak life into somebody else, because that's just how he works, you know? And at the same time, half the time, most of the time that we're serving, this is why serving becomes so important in our seasons, especially in our harder seasons. You know, it's because the blessing that we receive, the healing that we receive at times just by showing up. And I think that's the thing. If nobody hears anything else this entire episode, it's show up with God in whatever season that you are in.
Right.
Just show up. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you show up angry. It doesn't matter if you show up broken. It doesn't matter how you show up, as long as you show up, because God can do what he needs to do with you at that time. God's doing amazing things with Samaita right now. God's doing amazing things with Leslie. God is doing amazing things with me. Not because of any of us, really despite of us, but because of how good he is.
I always say, like, even if you only know one verse in your hardest season, God will send you someone to use that needs that verse. We just open to be like, Lord, I just know this one thing. You know, like, let me share it, even in the hardest seasons. But man.
It may be the verse we preach to ourselves. We may have the one verse, and we are the person that God that we're speaking to in that season.
That,
you know,
points out to so much. I think just what you said is that our lives are not about us. They're just not. What we go through, you know, because one thing that I always really try to have, I always really think about who's witnessing your life, right? Because the gospels were built because of witnesses. And who's witnessing yours? And I've realized that in my life, I always have either a non-believer or someone who's just starting witnessing what's happening, right? Because our lives are not about us. They're really not. Many times, you know, and I think that sometimes we get so into, you know, like Joyce Myers always talks about the robot. What about me? What about me? What about me? What about me? Without understanding that what you're going through is for someone else. You know, everything that I've gone through, I share because it's for someone else. You know, like all the things, all my little David moments, all my little Gideon moments, all my little woman at the well moments are really for someone else. And because our lives are not about us. They just aren't. And the more we sit in that and understand that while God has given us an opportunity to enjoy life, even the joy is for someone else sometimes. You know, like you can sit there with someone and say, I went through a tough season too, but sister, let me tell you, the joy, you know, like the season, you know, oh man, I'm with you to encourage someone else in theirs, you know. Oh my goodness, man, God is good. Who's that?
He's real good.
I love you, Leslie. She's over there.
Girl, this episode was,
I love it. I no, you brought it, Jessica.
For nobody else, it's for me, us three right here.
I'll encourage a rock if I could. Like, if listen, it's the truth. It's the truth that I think it's just a reminder that, you know, our lives are not for us. And we are, just like you said, like sometimes we have to be broken for someone else to see or for someone else to experience God's love the same way Paul was in the Bible. Like I'm reading in Acts, I'm like, man, Paul, you went through it. Goodness. And everything's joy. I'm in jail. Let's praise. Everything's joy. I'm like, Paul, where'd you get that energy from? You know, but again, because he knew about me. I want to point back to Jesus. I want to point people back to Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
And I think even as I become spiritually mature, like that's one of the things that I really, you know, want people to witness is that. Like, listen, my job, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to be joyful to the moment until he shows me what's next. And even if I don't even know what's coming, I know that he knows. and he's the one that's got it. So I just have to be joyful in this moment, and I'm right. gonna encourage someone else to do the same. And I've been telling him, I said, listen, every teacher that's left mm-hmm. here this year has gotten a better job. Every teacher that left, that had to leave because the school was, narrowed down to just a few teachers, has gotten a better job. I said, imagine how good he's going to bless the ones that have stayed. Ooh, child, I can't wait. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, we have to encourage each other even in these storms. Like, God is good. And mm-hmm. I just want to sit there and expect it, you know? Wow. Jessica, you really brought it. I have to really sit with that. That man. Wow.
Amen, amen. Oh, ladies, this was good. This was good. So I'm here thinking, yeah, I usually do tell people, like, well, again, because of that scripture, I've always tell people, it's like people a lot of times were like, how are you not, like, when I was a single mom and things were hard. And I said, well, the scripture says yeah. to mm-hmm. focus on the kingdom and it's and God's right. righteousness and everything else. There's nothing else I can do. And I think, too, when we serve others, a lot of times we get to see that we're right. not the only ones going through things. And sometimes people are going mm-hmm. through worse things than we are. And that's always a blessing, too, to see that even when mm-hmm. you're down, you still have something to give, no matter what season you're in. Yeah. So that was a good word there, Miss Thang. Well, anybody else want to add anything there before we wrap this wonderful thing up?
Is really pay attention and listen. Practice paying mm-hmm, attention mm-hmm. to that Holy Spirit call. Jessica, what was the word that you say? That impression. That thing that keeps mm-hmm. popping up. Like, pay attention. Pay attention to that, and just pay attention to what God is doing. And don't just live, you know, pay attention and watch what he does, and just be obedient and watch what he does in every season.
Yeah. And I would just say, show up, you know, and it doesn't have to be hours and hours on your knees. It can be, you take a walk. It could be you're doing dishes. It can be you're on your drive, but just God, I'm here. Amen. God, I'm here. That's it. God, I'm here. And he'll honor that. He will. Because that's all he wants us to do, is just show up.
Oh, my goodness.
I guess I'll just add that, you know, sometimes we do have to be broken in order to see God in a different light. I didn't like it. And it's too soon to be like, oh, it's too soon. But, you know, and maybe a year or two, I'll be like, oh, yeah, that time. And I'll be able to be totally praise God. I mean, not that I'm not praising him now, but I'll be able to actually be genuine. And oh, this is why. Mm-hmm. And God is good. And, you know, all that with, like, not just a knowing, but an experiencing. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, those things are still true. It's still just, you know. It's still too recent to be all like, oh, yeah, that is the truth. Going through it right now. So I'm just going to be, you know, just be honest, because I just can't be any other way.
Right.
I don't mm-hmm. do the pretending thing. But anywho, thank you, ladies. As usual, it's just a pleasure. I love how God has anointed you guys with your experience and your knowledge, and that we can share him with our followers. So you have a great week.
Bye, everybody.
And I will be seeing you around.